Hey, welcome to 60 Cycle Slum. Coming at you live from Summer NAMM in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah!
How's it going?
This is such a blast.
So good!
Summer NAMM 2016.
2016. You guys having so much fun?
Dude, I can barely hear. And I've got NAMM sickness, or whatever the hell that is, that thing is that everybody says. They brag about being sick.
Yeah, it's pneumonia.
Pneumonia. Oh, God. I've got it so hard right now.
Yeah, me too. My voice is shot and my eardrums are busted.
I have Namaria.
Yeah.
I have the, I think it's called Namalus. It's like an offshoot of syphilis, but Nam.
Namalus.
Namalus.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that. You guys got some
did
NTDs,
I get it from you, Aaron?
Right? Yes, probably. Yeah. Yeah, so sexually transmitted NAMZs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hold on, let me turn off Facebook notifications.
I'm like so glad we're here.
We're
making
here.
So many contacts.
Yeah, dude, I have so many T-shirts that I got, and like,
dude,
pedals that I tried out that I could not hear at all, but I know they were great.
Yeah,
I can.
And you know
so
what else?
Glad.
All the booths had triple XL T-shirts for me, and it was great.
Yeah, dude, so good.
No, see, I'm not. I took the T-shirts, but I just stuffed them in my bag because of my cosplay outfit.
Oh yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
True.
Remind me. I think I missed that.
Nikki Six, obviously.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course.
I can never. I'm cosplaying as Leo Fender, which is kind of a most people don't really. Know that I'm cosplaying, but
yeah,
I was this close to doing Gene Simmons, and I was like, you know what, that's too overboard. I should do a solid Nikki Six, but I'm really bummed because like there's so many people cosplaying as Nikki Six this year.
Yeah, yeah, it was like Nikki 16.
Yeah,
you, dude. I'm actually this is actually kind of embarrassing, but I'm a pretty big Nikki Six fan.
That is embarrassing.
When I was like 19 or 20, I played in this like glam rock band.
Okay.
And I was really into Motley Crue for a while. And
sick.
And that's pretty much it.
Wait.
I read their autobiography in like one night, and I'm still traumatized from that. But yeah, I'm a big Nikki Six fan from way
Motley
back.
Motley Crue is one of my favorite VH1 Behind the Musics.
Yeah.
All you young listeners to our podcast, you probably don't know what VH1 Behind the Music. You probably don't know what VH1 is, but you probably have never heard of VH1 Behind the Music. That show was awesome.
From like 97 to 99, that show was the only thing that mattered.
Yes.
And then it just dropped off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They tried to bring it back, but it was like terrible.
They're yeah. Almost there all of them are on run. YouTube.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The Oasis one was good.
Oasis too. Sublime was really good and sad.
Oh, I haven't seen that one, I don't think.
Because
like
Bradley
the Oasis
dies,
one,
you know.
They had subtitles the whole time. Every time they talk.
For racist people like Phil who can't understand British English.
Yeah. I hate the Brits. This was pre-Brexit, of course.
Exactly.
Whoa.
The best too behind soon. The music was Red Hot Chili Peppers because, like, everyone was just really chill. They're like, yeah, you know, the music's important, but most of all, we're just friends, you know, so we're not going to let anything. And so there was just, like, never any drama or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, you can hear the producer being like, I don't think you know how this is supposed to work, you know? Like, can you get us something to work with here?
Did you guys watch the Poison one?
Oh, I think
I
so.
Think
I
they
remember,
all kind of blur together.
The only part I really remember is when CeCe DeVille comes on and he goes, "It went from the House of Whores to the House of Horrors."
Like you know, he had been like workshopping that in his mind for like 5 years.
Yeah.
He's like,
you know,
oh, what's
tells everyone that story? Yeah.
Yeah.
So good, man.
Ozzy Osbourne is one of my favorite ones.
I haven't seen that. Well, I mean, I probably have.
That's,
I don't really remember, but
that's good.
I remember seeing something with him. It may have been Behind the Music, talking about like peeing on the Alamo and
yeah.
All those
he's like legitimately crazy, but then there's people like Gene Simmons, who it's like he gets all that out on stage, and then in real life he's just like a normal, boring dad.
He's
and,
a, you know. Right. He's a super chill guy, yeah.
Some people, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a really good episode, you guys. I think...
Yeah. Should we, like, say what this is or what our names are or anything?
So anyway, this is 60 Cycle
Cold
Slum.
Cold open.
The officially unofficial 60 Cycle Hub fan podcast. I'm Aaron.
I'm Cole.
This guy right here is Phil.
Phil.
That I'm pointing
Phil
at.
Is in Tahoe. Going crazy. Yep. Are you on the Nevada side or the California side?
I am currently on the California side. And it is, let me tell you, it is like MTV Beach House here. I'm just kidding, it's not.
Yeah, dude, are any of the Real Housewives of Orange County there?
Is Bill Bellamy there?
You know,
speaking of embarrassing things, I was also a big fan of Real Housewives of Orange County when it first came out. Because I was going to school.
I was really hoping you were going to say Bill Bellamy.
Yeah.
Bill Bellamy's fine. But anyway.
But wait, Aaron, you're the one. Yeah. Weren't we talking about this a while ago that you were a fan of.
I'm a fan of lots of terrible things.
Just like me, a fan of The
Jersey
Real
Shore.
OC.
Yeah.
The Real OC and. And then what was the one after that? It was Real OC, and then it was The Hills.
Laguna the Hills, Beach. Yeah.
The original one was the Laguna Beach.
Oh, it was called Laguna Beach, The Real OC. That's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
no, you're right.
There was like, the OC came out. The
right.
Show, and then it was Laguna Beach, The Real OC. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren, Team Low.
Yeah.
Chris and Cavallari were like, arch nemesis.
Yeah.
For that dorky dude, whatever. Typical white guy. Typical white boy.
Dude, Steven,
yeah.
Steven was awesome.
No way.
I wonder where he is now.
Remember, Steven. Then that other dude came who like had Steven. A beard and he looked like he was like 30 in high school.
Yeah, Jason. That
Jason,
guy was a freaking mess.
He was.
Wait.
Cole, did you ever watch that show?
No. You might notice that I've chosen to not speak during this segment.
Yeah. It's good. You
Aaron,
should go back.
Aaron, yeah. do we need to have a spinoff podcast of our spinoff podcast?
Yeah, Laguna Slum.
Yes, that is just us rewatching every
Dude, I would
episode
be so into
Beach.
That because I love that show.
Me
when
too.
The promposals,
Me too.
The promposals came around, everyone, oh man, it was insane. Pure insanity.
And I can be the guy who's watching it all for the first time, you know?
Yeah, cool. Your thoughts.
And my mind is getting blown at every episode, you know?
Dude, and then Kristen ruins Jay Cutler. What's up with that?
Right.
Yeah, oh, man.
Chicago ruined Jay Cutler.
I mean, that dude, yeah, that's probably true.
Wait, are
I'm
about
also
sports now?
A big Jay Cutler fan.
We're not going to talk about that.
Because I'm just going to say really quick, my first year of playing fantasy football, he was my quarterback, and he killed it for me. And so I have a soft spot for Jay Cutler. But anyway.
No, my favorite TV show is Intervention.
AC/DC.
I like, oh, I like nice. To see I like to see real people whose lives are actually screwed up.
Oh, dude, that, I can't watch those shows. They drive me – they, like, are too real for me.
Dude, Intervention is amazing, and one time – I was watching it, and the subjects were a husband and wife who were alcoholics, and they were my friend's parents.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I didn't know they even drank or anything, and then I saw them on freaking Intervention, and it blew my mind.
Whoa. Funny,
yeah.
All right. Awesome. Anyway, roll the bones.
Roll them.
We got a lot to talk about, right?
We do.
We got NAMM. Which is happened or whatever
yeah.
we are at, right?
Yeah. What is NAMM? What is NAMMing?
What's NAMMing, dude?
Yeah.
Can't believe you. Can't believe you said that.
Dummy.
What is NAMMing?
You're NAMM fool.
Yeah.
Yes. I usually don't have a problem with people coming to my house. Okay, we'll get to that later. We're also going to talk about episode 2. Did you guys listen to episode 2? Of course you did.
Yeah.
Episode 2 goes way back to January 25th, 2000. I'm assuming that's 14. I wrote 16.
No, that's, yeah, something like that.
2014.
Okay.
Year of happening in
Our Lord.
The year of the rat.
Yeah. The year of the rat. Okay, I believe it.
I don't know.
Yeah, so first impressions. What are your first impressions? I'll be honest, I listened to this episode while doing about 40 other things, so my consciousness is kind of in and out. But there were some ads. There was like a bundle, right?
Yeah.
Applesauce acoustic.
Oh, right, yes.
That one was pretty crazy, and it was like $100 for an Applause acoustic, Les Paul, and a Crate amp.
Yeah, that was crazy. I think this is the first time where they talk about ads being sent in, but they never say who sent them, really. Like, I remember once they said, oh, it's a girl that I know who's like a friend of a friend, but not a friend of your friend or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway, it was weird.
Have you guys ever bought anything on Craigslist that was a bundle like that specifically for the purpose of what Steve and Ryan said, of like selling off everything and then getting one thing for free?
I never have, no.
I've bought a lot of bundles and split them up and sold them, though.
Me too. It's my favorite. When I see a post like that, I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
But my Craigslist is pretty bad. It's like a lot of accordions and like mariachi instruments. Serious.
Is your Craigslist the same as theirs?
I go on the San Diego Craigslist sometimes too, but I'm like 100 miles away from San Diego. So I'm there fairly often. Yeah, I'm out in the desert, dude.
Hey, Phil.
Yes.
Stop leaving. Hello? Us coming from. Move away from it.
Yeah, wherever the journey is.
Dude, journey, okay, first.
You away from journey.
I think I am not. I am like
there you
100
go.
Yards away from that place. I think they're turning up their music.
Just as to mess you walk with away? You?
Yeah, I think they're like, hey, look at that jerk trying to podcast right now. Let's totally ruin his night.
Destroy. Let's destroy him.
Okay.
He probably already ruined the first podcast with his background noise. Let's screw him again.
Let's make it a thing. What is this, a time travel podcast?
Exactly. So yeah, they had that. They had that, and it was one of those ones where it was listed like so far below that you see it. Like this always happens on my local Craigslist site, is like if you see it and it's even like 15 minutes after it was posted, know that you're too late.
Yeah.
Like there was an American Deluxe Strat a couple weeks ago that was posted for $350 or $300. And I texted like 10 minutes after it posted, and he was like, yeah, someone's already on their way. And then they ended up raising the price. I think he basically got so many texts that he was like, yeah, I didn't sell it to that guy, and I decided to sell it for $450 instead. And I should have still taken it for that much. But
it was an American Deluxe?
Yeah. Maybe it was just an American Standard. But it was an American Strat. Like, it wasn't like an old American Series or anything.
Yeah.
It was like, like the guy didn't know, and it was from the 90s, but still, like, you know, obviously it sold fast at that price. But it's one of those ones where it's like, crap, you know that it's already gone, you know?
Yeah. What's a good price for a 70s tribute SG? I know that's a random question.
Like a current one?
Yeah, 2013. I'm looking at it right now. It's listed for $550, but
that's too high.
I'm assuming that's what I was thinking.
They're like $550 new.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were, or like 600.
The tribute ones, I guess, are pretty low.
Yeah, they're like a matte, they're like a satin finish and all that. Yeah.
Worthless. Worthless conversation. So there was that ad, which was fine. The Univox High Flyer, which, whatever. The Honer, which, okay. The main one that was like the interesting
I believe it's pronounced Honer.
Honer. It's Honer.
You have offended my honor.
Exactly.
I have so much honor. Your honor.
Honor, I barely know her.
Defense rest, Your Honor. I hardly know her. No, so the main one was the eBay ads with the sexy chicks, the naked ladies.
Yeah.
So, again, yes. Like, listening back, I didn't realize how far back some of these things went. Like, they've been talking about naked chicks since day two, basically.
Yeah.
Which, good for them. Getting behind the curve.
They hadn't gotten to the no horny dudes ad yet.
Right. <That's>
I can't wait until we get to that one. But by the time we do, it's going to be like 2 years from now or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I will no longer care.
I don't know. The like sexy eBay ads doesn't, like, I don't know. It's like weird and lame, but it just seems like so ineffective, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really just no point to
What's
it.
What's the point?
Yeah.
But okay. Why do guys do it? Do they do it because they believe it works?
I'll tell you why. I have a theory. Okay. So, like, actual ads use attractive people, right?
Yes.
I feel like they're trying to, like, approximate, like, a legitimate print ad with their work, but they use what they have available, which is, like, relatively skanky people and, like, crappy locales. So it's, like, in their mind, it's, like, a really good, like, quality ad from a magazine that you would see. That's my theory, anyway.
So you're saying
that...
But
it's, like, in a magazine for, like, headphones. It's not like, well, there will be some, like, skinky chick in it or whatever. But it's just because, like, you have to show somebody wearing the headphones, and you might as well choose an attractive person instead of an ugly person, you know?
Right, right. Like, yeah, but they're not thinking logically.
Yeah.
They're thinking, this is how it's done. You put people in your ads.
So you think that they're like, oh, I saw... All my favorite ads have sexy people in them,
yeah,
holding the things they're trying to sell. And they're like, hey, next door neighbor who deals meth, could you, if I give you $5, will you post for this picture for my Craigslist ad? And then they do it, and they're just like modestly dressed. And he's like, oh, God, this is not, it is not working. Yes. You're going to have to take off your shirt or something because
it's like, we'll Photoshop out all your scabs and everything. But
yeah, I don't think they put that much thought into it. I think it's more like, I got to make an ad. And in their mind, that's just what an ad is. So it's not even like a conscious decision.
But the funny thing is, like, everyone, you know, it's always like some, you know, feminist crusader who, like, post that on Gear Talk and is like, oh, can you believe this person? And then that ad gets like a billion more clicks than it would have otherwise. You know,
you're
right?
Absolutely right about that.
And it's like,
and then
oh,
that
you know what?
Like, oh yeah, this was a great ad. I'm gonna do that again next time.
Yeah, it's like, and then someone, you know, following that clicks on it and is like, yeah, I'm actually interested in that guitar, regardless of the skanky chick or whatever. So it's like, in some ways, it actually works. Not for the reasons they think it works, but
right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. There we go. Jeez. Solved it. Problem solved.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick I hate busted. That stuff as much as the next guy. Probably more than most of the next guys, but but yeah, it tends to be a thing where, like, everyone just looks at it and then it's like a voyeuristic kind of thing, like, oh man, this is so bad. Everybody look. Look how crappy this is. Look at this.
Totally.
Yeah. Hey guys, I don't want to like make you watch porn or anything, but check out this porn. Isn't it super porny?
Dude, it's like super exploitative.
Yeah, look
how you wouldn't even believe how shameful it is.
Let me show you this video of people dying and like see how offended you are by it.
Can you believe they put this on the internet?
Can you believe it? Yeah, dude. Okay, but although this is a really hard segue, I live close to Mexico, right? So I have people on, like, Facebook that live in Mexico. And the people who are from Mexico post, like, the most graphically violent pictures of things.
Yeah.
Like, this girl that I used to work with, she posted this thing about, like, bullfighting the other day. And it was just, like, dozens of pictures of dudes being gored by bullhorns.
Yeah.
But, like, full-on graphic blood.
Yeah, yeah. Off.
It was awful.
Like, there's that one where the horn goes in through the bottom of his chin and it comes out his mouth. Have you seen that one?
Yes, that was one of them. And, like, through torsos and legs.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Jeez.
all the time. And it's like, oh, check out this video of like an accident, and it's like a baby that gets run over or something. It's like,
oh my god,
why would you?
Like, it's like faces of death, like on Facebook. It's Facebooks of death.
Facebooks of death. Yeah,
it's awful. I like that. It's so rough.
Make another YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna put this on eBay. I got some things to sell, man.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, that's funny. So talk to me. Let's talk about ads, because I know we talked about like taking good pictures last time. But what else do you think makes a good ad? For your own ad and for someone else?
I feel like they talked about the idea of putting your location in the ad itself, and that it's annoying when people go, "Hey, where are you?" And I totally agree. I find that completely freaking annoying. I when I do my ads, I always, one thing I always do is I say, I'm in Roseville, but then I like, I tell the cross streets of like the supermarket that I would prefer to do meetups at, that's like a few blocks from my house. Because sometimes it's like, oh, well, this end of Roseville, I'm 30 minutes away from that end of Roseville, but I'm 50 minutes away from the far end of Roseville. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just prefer to put a specific location in the ad.
Right.
And that's something that they didn't really mention. I don't put my address. I put a specific location
where you'd be
near my address.
Central to you, yeah. That makes sense. I actually don't use Craigslist a whole lot because, again, my local Craigslist is just garbage. But I like to have, like, interesting copy when I write my things for whatever reason. I don't know. I think it's funny.
I never do.
I like to put jokes in there and, like,
me too.
I want it to sound like a real ad, and I feel like people respond to that even though they probably don't, but...
That's like the difference, like I'm an engineer and you're an English teacher, and for me it's like all I want is a bulleted list of information. I don't care about your funny story or your, you know, quips or whatever.
Yeah. I want people to know this guitar will make you rock, something like that. I don't know. Just stupid cheesy stuff.
Remember
to me, it's just like cold, lifeless information.
Yeah. Just X's.
You guys remember that ad I posted? Probably like 6 months ago. I had that. Who makes the T2 reverb?
Oh yeah, the TC Electronic.
Yeah, yeah. So that the ad I wrote for that one was like all Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Because it's T2.
Yeah.
T2, right. And so like. The whole thing was like, it was like, hey, are you sick of your foster parents telling you what to do when all you want to do is listen to Guns N' Roses and drive around on your moped? And it like I had the details of like what the pedal does.
Yeah.
But it was like two full paragraphs of like Terminator jokes and then details of the pedal kind of mixed in. And I wrote it, and I laughed, and I posted it, and then, like, it was, like, a week and a half later, it wasn't even offer. He clicked buy and sent me a message, your ad made me laugh really hard, so I had to buy your pedal, and I was like, oh my god, this is so awesome!
So he paid asking price?
Yes!
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
But now I'm kind of ruined, because now I feel like there's some weird reptilian part of my brain that believes that that's the only way to sell a pedal now.
Right,
because
it worked.
Because it worked so well that like now I have to write a stupid, I have to come up with some gimmicky weird joke in my copy or else I won't get asking price.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably true. Yeah. There's no one wants your garbage.
Right, and you know, that's how it works for freaking Don Draper.
All right. I'm also a big fan of Mad Men.
Good.
We're not going into that, though.
No, we won't. Ads are funny because I feel like most people don't care about it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The price is right. You know? Like, yep, that's the thing that I want, and that is the price that I am willing to pay.
Yeah.
Wait, this is the thing I want, the price I want to pay, but there isn't cleavage in this, in any of these pictures. No deal.
Right. I don't know how people find ads without cleavage. Like, where's the cleavage? I don't know where to look for guitars because I cannot find the cleavage.
So I'm like such a bottom feeder when I flip stuff that I usually am able to sell it like below sort of normal price and still make a good flip. So
yeah.
I usually just post stuff and like just put, you know, just the plain information in there. I'm kind of spoiled. So in Utah, there's the local newspaper and radio and TV station has had a classified section since before Craigslist existed. And so it's this site called KSL, and that's so nobody here uses Craigslist. And on there, your location is linked to your account. So you never have to, like, everyone kind of just knows where everyone is, and you can text everyone directly through the app. And it has, like, a bunch of nice features that are way better than Craigslist. Plus, you never get any spam from it, pretty much. You get, like, very little spam from it, which is nice. So I'm kind of – but my Craigslist, like, I don't know. We can talk about Craigslist etiquette, too, I guess.
I have a question quickly about Utah. And
yeah.
I think Salt Lake City in particular. Is it true that, like, there's no street names in Salt Lake City? And everything's like coordinates?
Yes.
Coordinate?
There's a lot of... They all have street names, but they all also have... Not all streets have names. Most of them do, but then they also have coordinates as well.
And they're based on, like, the main temple or something?
Well, so in Salt Lake, they're based on where Temple Square is, which is where this.
Okay.
Most of the cities here, it's based around where the post office is.
Yeah.
So, like,
wait a minute. You know, is
Bountiful?
Is Bono Mormon?
Bono?
Yes, it's on the streets have no name.
Oh. I was in Kingman, Arizona, and there's
now.
Streets that are called. The street is literally called No Name. No Name Street. So I figured he was there when he wrote that song.
So, like, I grew up in Bountiful, Utah, and our house was 160 South, meaning it was almost two blocks south of the center of town, and it was 1600 East, meaning it was 16 blocks east. And then,
awesome.
the whole thing's just laid out like a grid, which makes it...
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yep.
I guess that's what happens when you, like, can develop a city from the ground up and not have it be organic.
Plan it out to be, yeah.
And yeah, they also get those weird, like, round streets.
And all the streets are, like, super wide here, too.
Mm-hmm. All those pickup trucks.
Which is nice. So it's made it easy to expand and everything. But, yeah, so...
Well, that's because you guys were driving Suburbans before they were cool.
Exactly.
Yes.
The pioneers that came here over the plains, you know.
They came in Suburbans.
Yeah.
Yep.
With your 9 million kids.
On the Mormon Trail.
Exactly.
Dude, when I was in Boy Scouts, we hiked part of the Mormon Trail, like, overnight. The Mormon Battalion hike.
Okay, yeah. Whoa. So the Mormon Battalion was, that was a different thing. But.
Mormon Battalion. And, like, we, I don't know, like, probably like 10 miles or something overnight through the desert. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Aaron, you were a Boy Scout?
I was a Boy Scout for, like, one summer between 8th and 9th grade.
Do you remember the oath?
No. I don't. I don't remember any of it.
Cool.
Were you all Boy Scouts?
Boy Scout oath or the Boy Scout motto?
I know be prepared. That's all I know is be prepared. But that's, like, the slogan or something.
Come on, Cole. Yeah. Show us the hand signal.
I've got my three fingers up right now.
Yeah. I'm touching that pinky.
I can't remember the difference. There's the one that's like, I'll keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And then there's the...
Did you say morally straight?
Yeah. They've taken that part out now.
Yeah. Because they wanted to be on the right side of history.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's the motto.
Yeah. And the oath is like the a scout is, what is it? Loyal. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I was.
Is that the
I
one that has Thrifty in it?
Yeah.
Thrifty.
I love that. I always love that.
Trustworthy,
as a little
helpful,
kid.
Friendly, brave, clean, reverent, all this other stuff. Man, I'm surprised I'm actually an Eagle Scout, so.
Yes, really. I was hoping you were going to drop that.
Are you an Eagle Scout, Phil?
I am not an Eagle Scout. I just wanted Cole to announce this. I did not want to say.
Just wanted Cole. Me to shame myself on.
Let me lead you there.
On public radio.
Yeah, public
radio. Radio. Yeah. Yeah.
Public radio.
Little P, next, little R.
Next on K6SL, City Cycle Slum.
Okay, so what's everyone's etiquette then, aside from writing ads that attract people, which I don't usually do.
Like etiquette, I think etiquette is if you agree to a price, that's the price.
Yeah.
Like you haggle, right? But yeah, once you get there, you don't try to pull a fast one on someone.
Yeah, totally.
That's awful.
And I do all haggling before I ever meet. So if someone says, "Hey, absolutely. I want to come," if they're like, "Hey, I want to come check it out," and I'm like, "Okay, cool. Are you okay with the price?" And make sure that we get it all out, because I freaking hate it. And Ryan told that story in the podcast, which is actually a pretty funny story about
how
a guy came to buy the pedal and then handed over like less cash than he agreed to, which is like, what type of sociopath thinks that that's just okay, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate it when people do, all I had was this much. And I've told people before, like, okay, well, there's an ATM a couple blocks away, so I'll see you in a few minutes if you want to come back and pick it up.
Yeah.
But you've had problems recently, right? With dudes coming to, like, play guitars and then...
Oh, my gosh. So I was selling,
that's right.
I picked up that SG, and it was the funniest thing. I bought this SG, and this guy had it listed for $800, and it was an SG standard, and it was really cool-looking color and everything. And I texted him, and I was like, hey, are you... I didn't even ask him if he was flexible on price. I asked him... Oh, I can't even remember what I said. If he's available to look at it. Oh, I said, no, are you open to trades? And he said, no, but I'll take $650 for it. Like, I didn't even ask him to haggle, and he dropped $150. So I was like, okay. And I usually have, like, I have a separate budget for guitar stuff. And so I had the cash. And he was like, yeah, I work downtown, and so do I. And he just dropped by my work and gave it to me. So, of course, I ended up selling it a few weeks later, and I had it listed for $800. And, like, a bunch of people texted me, and $700 was like my bottom dollar, so I'd at least make a little bit. And a few people came by, and I was like willing to sell it for $700. And like three different people came by and spent like a half an hour each just like playing it. The one that annoyed me the most was this guy who was checking the intonation, and I kid you not, what he was doing was he would play the string open, and then he would play the 12th fret harmonic, which is like, regardless of the intonation, that's always going to be the same because that's how harmonics work.
Right.
Fret, like fretted and then do the harmonic, you doofus. So he was like, okay, it looks like it's all, I'm able to intonate it well. And I wanted to be like, yeah, dude, that's idiot. But you have to be nice. And of course, they all want to be like, so what kind of, you play in a band? What kind of music do you play? And it's like, dude, I don't want any information about you, and I don't want you to have any information about me. All I want is my money. And then sure enough, like a week later, this dude showed up. He texted me, showed up, looked at the guitar for like a minute, and was like, okay, you said 800, here's 800, and just rode off into the sunset. And just like they talked about this on the podcast, I wanted to text back every person and be like, oh, in case you're still interested, I just sold it for 800, just so you know.
Yeah.
Rub it in, you idiots. Oh,
man. Yeah, and I've noticed it happens more with like higher-end stuff for some reason.
I'm sure.
My G&L, and it was the same way, where people would come by and play it and then be like, okay, well, I'll let you know if I come up with the money. And it's like, you shouldn't let me know that you didn't have the money before you came to my freaking house.
It's well, the same thing that, like, it's like the same phenomenon that leads people to, like, want to return stuff on, like, Reverb or eBay because they don't like the color or something. You know,
it's crazy.
Like, they think everything is like a store, like an actual store, where they can just return things for no reason. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I think that's the same mentality that leads them to your house to, like, play your guitar for half an hour.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
part
I'm not
of the reason
a
why. Yeah, it's part of the reason why I I mean, besides the horror stories of, like, I don't want to get, like, murdered in my own home.
House of horrors.
I have this weird thought in my head that if I Craigslist enough, and that someone will come back to my house, like weeks later, and say, you know what, it's really not for me. So here it is. Can I have my money? And I'll be like, dude, no. we're closed. Like, I don't, we're like, closed. What do you say?
And they're like, yeah, but I'm at your house. And I know where you live now. And it's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Do you have a receipt?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. We.
So do you guys not let people come to your house then?
No, I've done it. I've done it at my house plenty of times because, like, with amps or whatever.
Yeah.
But I did. One guy seemed super sketchy to me. And so I met him at a McDonald's, and he's like, how am I supposed to know if it works? And I go, well, they have outlets there, so bring a guitar, and you will get just enough time to play it for you to know that it works before they tell us, hey, you can't play a guitar in here.
Yeah, you lunatics.
I usually ship stuff, so it's not even been a thing, but I feel like I'd be fine with it. Like, as long as it's not a crazy person.
Honestly, this seems...
An obviously crazy person, but...
This seems like...
I'd rather have people at my house than go to their house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hate going to people's houses.
So, one difference with using KSL versus Craigslist is that everybody just texts or calls. Nobody ever emails. And so when everyone talks about, like, emailing to pick up gear, it's like, oh, I can't even imagine how annoying that would be. But honestly, like, if I get a text from somebody and it's a blue text, so I know they have an iPhone, I'm like, yeah, they're probably okay. It's like the most elitist douchebag thing, but like, whatever.
What version?
They're gonna murder me. They have an iPhone.
What iOS are you on? Is that a 6S or what? Or what's the new one now? I don't know. No one cares.
Yeah. But it's like if. And especially if it's a local number that they text you from, it's like, I don't know. I can't imagine someone would text me from their actual cell phone number and then come do something shady, you know?
No horny Androids.
Exactly. Like, keep all the horny Blackberries away from me.
Blackberries. I have a friend who has, like, a flip phone still.
No horny Nokia Sidekicks.
Yeah, no Sidekicks. No razors.
No razors. Oh my god. I wanted a razor so bad.
Dude, those were great, man.
Dude, I wanted a razor too, and then my mom got one. And I was so mad.
Those razors are like actually good phones. Like using I have a 6 Plus, which is like this enormous mini iPad basically. And it's so uncomfortable to actually hold against your face. But, like, razors and a lot of those flip phones were, like, so nice to use.
No, the razor was, like, a genius design because it was super thin and, like, rock solid and just the right break angle to, like, hold it against your face.
Yeah, totally.
So back to the whole, like, iPhone blue screen, blue
yes.
text box thing. I haven't seen this. I don't think I've ever seen it again, but like back in the early smartphone days, what were they called before they were iPhones?
The iPhone.
iPod?
iPod. Oh my God.
iPod Touch.
I think it was an iPod Nano.
Okay.
And so the guy he's selling it, and it was like, you know, he won like $15 or whatever. And I text him, and he texts me back, and he's like, yeah, I still got it. Can you meet this afternoon? And then he had a signature on his text message.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And his signature was Cali grown. And so I get this message. The text reads, yeah, I still got it. Can you meet this afternoon? Cali grown. And I'm like, what? And so I write him back and I go, yeah, is four cool? Where can you meet? And he says, how about the Taco Bell on the corner of blah, 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 Cali grown. And then I go, and then I write him, I'm like, why do you keep texting Cali grown? And I wish I still had a screenshot of it because then he responds, it's my text message signature, Cali grown.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Clearly the guy was an aficionado of the herb.
Yeah.
Exactly. As they say.
Yeah. He's Cali grown.
Cali grown.
Yeah.
I should Google that name, see if I could find that guy.
I'm sure there's many.
Hey, I want a refund. I want a refund on this this red iPod Nano. 4 gigs. 4 gigs just isn't cutting it for me.
And then your signature is like Smokes Mad Blunts 420 XXX.
It's like you're on Xbox Live or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's a stoner on Xbox
something,
Live.
Something racist.
Something racist.
Actually, no, that would be an awesome signature. Something racist.
Something racist and homophobic.
Yeah. No, it'd be mildly racist, overtly homophobic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. So, this is a good time as any. I just got an update on Facebook because there's this post that's been going for like 3 days.
Yeah.
About that new King's Kaleidoscope song. Are you hip to this, Phil?
No, and I've been... The last couple of days have been kind of crazy for me, so I haven't been on the boards.
So are you familiar with King's Kaleidoscope?
I am familiar with the band, yes.
Yeah, so if you're not, I don't know if Cole is. They were like part of the Mars Hill conglomerate.
Right.
With Mark Driscoll. But anyway, they released a new album, and I guess one of the songs on the album drops the F-bomb a couple times.
What?
And people flipped out. People have lost their minds over this.
They lost their effing minds.
Yes. Yeah, so apparently the thing is, like, they said it's not meant to be like a corporate worship album. It's the one dude's journey, but yeah, he says the F word a couple times.
It's a private worship album.
I love that corporate worship is a thing. That phrase even exists.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's corporate, like, body, you know, like worshiping as a body. But
yeah, Cole, we just mean a bunch of us together.
It's also corporate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also corporate.
But it's also we're going to try to make millions of dollars off of this music. Yeah.
That's not what we mean when we say that, Cole.
Yeah, come on, dude. Context. Use your context clues. Do you even praise? I don't think Cole even praises.
I do praise and worship, but just in a different way than the rest of my fellow brethren.
Do you even praise, bro?
You don't even praise, bro.
I don't praise, but I worship.
So I allowed myself to get sucked into the conversation for a good amount of time yesterday, but it was all in good fun.
Yeah. Hey. But just for the record, the post is now up to 139 comments, and that doesn't even include all the sub comments and everything. But it's exactly what you would expect from the Gurtok PNW. Like,
I'm surprised it's still alive, to be honest.
Yeah,
it hasn't been deleted yet.
Yeah, but I guess people have been like relatively civil.
Well, because it's not like a hot button enough topic. Like nobody feels. It's not like guns or homophobia or something. It's just like
no one feels that strongly about it. Like, no, you have to say the F word.
Yeah,
if you don't say it, if you're not swearing in all of your worship songs, you
clearly don't mean it.
Clearly, yeah.
But they do definitely feel very self-righteous about it. Many of them,
whichever position you hold.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe you're being so judgmental, man.
I know. Like, I'm judging your judgment, and stop judging me for judging you for judging me.
My favorite part is when someone accused me of being so open-minded that my brain had fallen out.
Wow, really?
Dude, That's like such an 80-year-old joke. Like,
yeah.
What your grandma would say
to
you.
It's so open mind. I didn't tell everyone that I'm from California, because I wonder what that would do.
Oh, my gosh. That's like if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Oh, dude, I played guitar at my friend's church last night, and it's like my church is relatively conservative, but I was in like a back room with a bunch of people, and they started talking about Arizona. And my go-to response whenever anyone talks about Arizona is just to mention how much I hate Arizona, because it's like the most like racist and like terrible state in the world, in the country. And they're like, "Oh, what's wrong with Arizona?" It's like, I don't know. It's racist. And they're like, they go, someone literally said, "That's a red state, isn't it?"
Like, oh my gosh.
Like, I cannot have this conversation. It was really awkward, but it was funny. And my buddy, he grew up in like the middle of LA, like urban setting, and he's like Mexican. So he was like, and he's like one of the pastors there. So he's like trying to tell them like why you can't be racist. And he's like, "Dude, back me up." I was like, "No, it's too many white people. I'm very scared right now."
And also, like, if it isn't obvious to them already why they shouldn't be racist, then nothing we say is going to change that. Like,
well, yeah, that's true too.
Exactly. If you're saying, "Come on, back me up. Let's explain to these people why it's bad to be racist."
Yeah.
You've lost. You've lost.
Yeah, I've already lost.
That's the Alamo right there.
They were like really nice about it, but they're like, "I think everyone should have guns. Like, you don't you think everyone should have a gun?" Like, well. I don't know.
I don't think
I'm going to answer that question. I'll tell you that.
Like, I think you can make the argument that everyone should have a choice to have guns. That's at least an argument that you can make. But the fact that it's like, no, everyone should get a gun just like they do in Switzerland. And it's like, Switzerland is a very different country than the United States.
Yeah.
Anyways. Does everyone in Switzerland have guns?
Yeah, they get, you know, they have like mandatory military service, and then when they're released, they keep their rifle or something like that. I don't know. That's, yeah. We're not going to go into this topic.
But they also have wooden shoes, right?
No, that's Sweden.
Oh.
No, that's Holland, I think.
That is Holland.
Why would you? Okay, good. Because I was going to say, it would be weird to, like, make everyone have a gun when they're always tripping over stuff. With their stupid wooden shoes.
Clocking about. I don't think they wear the wooden shoes.
Do we need to mark like a timestamp for when Phil's racist so we can like edit it out and stuff?
Whoa. Nobody explain to me why I'm racist and why it's bad.
If only somebody had explained it to me in terms that I can understand.
If only. Yeah.
Is this an intervention?
It's like really fun if you allow yourself to imagine the person who is completely racist, but the only thing that's keeping them racist is like they haven't heard the right logical argument against it.
Exactly.
if you could just get them that one right argument, they would just totally change everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. All right.
Yeah. And if you delivered that on a Facebook group, you know.
Yeah, if only I had read that post.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, you really opened my eyes. Maybe I don't hate black people anymore.
Excuse me, Mr. Racist Person. Did you know that we all are exactly the same under the color of our skin?
Like, dude, have you even seen Dante speak?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know we're all gray on the inside?
Yeah. We all look the same when we're fighting a volcano, bro.
Yeah.
We're covered in ash.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. That's stupid. So what else is new? What's good? Well, obviously, we didn't go to NAMM because we're not industry insiders.
That was just a hilarious joke.
That was a great bit.
Mind blown.
You guys aren't in NAMM right now?
The jig might have been up when Phil... Or Tahoe, whatever you call it.
I call it Tahoe. I am cosplaying as Nikki Sixx right now.
Yeah, of course. That part was true.
I believe that.
But anyway, we weren't there, but we have heard third hand about some new things, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to get your guys' opinion on some things.
Cool.
We'll start with the worst to the best.
Okay.
I don't know if this is even a thing. The Wampler amp. What do you think of the Wampler amp? Have you heard of it? I mean,
yeah,
heard it?
It just seems kind of unnecessary.
It's like a... Is it a Tweed Deluxe?
It's not even a... I think it's just a Blackface Deluxe.
Oh, it's like
not,
a... Just...
Not that kind of Blackface, though.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Phil's favorite amp. Now.
Phil's favorite amp. The Blackface Deluxe.
And he actually modded his. He painted it white. Now that you mention it, I think the Wampler one was white. But no, I think it's just like a straight deluxe circuit. And so, like, and I love, like, the main amp that I play is a 65 reissue.
I'm sorry, yeah. Wait. Are you guys saying that this amp is a clone?
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. Which
a clone? They're selling a clone?
Someone said it's the best clean sound they have ever heard. Which, again, they heard it at NAMM, so...
Yeah, and also it's based on a deluxe reverb. Of course it's the best clean sound. Like that's,
yeah.
But it's like I don't get the appeal. Like I get maybe if you look at it from the standpoint of like he obviously understands amps really well because one thing that Wampler's known for is like his amp in a box type pedals.
Right.
Right.
But it just seems kind of unnecessary to me at least.
It seems like he would have put out something that was like higher gain maybe or at least had like an interesting gain structure to it. Like, I don't know, like a two channel Marshall kind of thing seems more natural from him, but
yeah. Cause but that's like, that's what a lot of his pedals are high gain.
Yeah.
Pedals, you know,
I guess if you look at it, like in the context of his line, it kind of makes sense because
you want
it's
a clean
like a dry platform.
Yeah. Right.
For all of his pedals to run through kind of thing.
But all that being said, Brian, I'm sorry, Mr. Wampler, if you're listening, we would love to review your amp if you'd like
or
to send
any
us
of
one.
Your pedals. Yeah, send us whatever.
At
60cycleslum@gmail.com.
Yes, please contact us and send us one or any of your pedals or three of your amps, and we can all try it and give us an honest review. We would give an honest review.
We won't even give an honest review. We will rave about it.
We would lie through
our teeth. We will lie our filthy faces off.
Yeah. About how glorious it is.
Yeah, we might even sell one.
And two of the three of us have already stated that we love to write ridiculously fake copy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got that.
Bro, it's on.
Brian.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate it in advance.
Brian. Thank you in advance, yeah.
Thanks in advance, Brian. I'm looking at a 12-string bass
Can
right now.
Can I call
now.
You Bri? Can I call you Bri?
Speaking Bri of calling Wong. People by Bri their Wong. First name, that was one of my favorite posts of the week in the PW group, was this guy who was like, yeah, I was just hanging out at NAMM with my good buddy Bill, whatever his name is, who invented the Klon.
It's Bill.
And I'm going to throw my Archer away because this thing sounds so amazing. And then... It just was like, you know, it wasn't like the type of post that makes you hate the guy, but it was just kind of like very sort of douchey, I guess.
My favorite part was when he goes, someone said something like, I think it was you, like, how did you hear it? How did you hear it? Like, at NAMM, it's so crowded. He goes, I was there before the doors opened.
And then, but my favorite part was your reply to him.
Yeah, it's like,
did you climb in a window?
Did you climb through a window? So dumb.
And then someone later was like, who makes the Klon KTR? And he was like, Bill. That's all he said.
Bill. Yeah, Bill. Yeah.
So I replied, Bill who?
Okay.
And so we were joking about it in 60 Cycle Hum, and Brian posted about it. And
Bill builds it.
And someone was like, yeah, this guy totally sounds like Cruz. And then I clicked on it. I clicked on his profile to see what he looked like. And underneath his picture, it shows his work history. And he straight up used to work at Little Walter. It's like the greatest.
It is so awesome.
It is full circle. Yeah.
You couldn't have scripted it better. So.
Okay, so let's close read that post. And what specifically, what do you think is the single, like, worst thing? Because I feel like the worst one is I'm throwing my Archer away. I think that is the douchiest part. But you could argue
I was sitting next to Bill and he was telling me about it, and you know.
Yeah, the only thing it was missing is he asked me back to his hotel room. He invited me to his hotel room.
Exactly.
to take this to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Bill.
There was levels.
I saw a picture of Bill.
Levels of douchiness.
He was wearing what looked to be a very expensive T-shirt. So he's doing all right, I would say.
Like, obviously, like, he knows what he's doing.
Like, are you, when you say very expensive, are you talking about like Afflicted or Ed Hardy?
No, like, you know how when there's like rich older dudes and they're wearing a, just a regular like single color T-shirt, but you can tell that just by how perfectly fitted it is and like the seams on it that it's probably like a $100 T-shirt.
Yeah,
it was one of those.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, he was looking good. Aaron, he's got like nice hair and like kind of buff. I think I have a crush on Bill.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like his shirt. Maybe his shirt was just filled out in all the right places.
That's probably
true
too.
It wasn't the cut of the shirt.
I heard an interview with I want to say Morgan Freeman. This is probably way off. But he was talking about the difference between expensive T-shirts and like cheap T-shirts. And he said it's all about the length of the sleeve, and like the expensive T-shirts are cut to hit like right in the middle of the bicep, and it's like the perfect length of sleeve, and that's what Bill had. So, from Morgan's mouth to God's ears.
I'm looking at the T-shirt I'm currently wearing, which is a William Jessup University T-shirt that I got for free in a raffle drawing, and the sleeve is right at the middle of my bicep, and I can't imagine this shirt was most likely put together and in some sweatshop in
Careful.
Indonesia.
Just remember, Phil, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with Morgan Freeman.
Okay, all right.
So I don't care. I have no dog in this race. I am wearing a T-shirt of one of my old bands. It's a Hanes Beefy Tee.
Yeah.
In gray.
And
standard,
where's the sleeve?
Crappy gray. It's a little
bit lower. Cut off sleeve.
Say, no, it's a little bit lower than I would prefer.
So closer to the elbow?
It's lower? It's like right at like the bottom of like the bicep area.
Huh. Yeah, that sounds too low.
It's too low, dude.
About you?
I feel bad about it.
What's your T-shirt situation right now, Cole?
I'm wearing a BYU football T-shirt, and
all right.
The sleeves are too short.
Too short, okay.
Yeah.
Phil, or sorry, Cole, one question. What's the deal with Jimmer? Why does he suck?
He kind of always just sucked, but partially because stupid Sacramento Kings ruined him.
Yeah, Sacramento.
If he had gone to the Spurs instead of Kawhi Leonard, he would have been the final.
No, dude, Kawhi's my homeboy, and I'm glad he went to the Spurs because he's killing it. Anyway.
But they were rivals, and
I remember that year.
But yeah, Jimmer's lame.
You guys talk about sports?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Basketball.
I think maybe more people are interested in sports than sleeve length, but I'm not sure.
I would say probably.
We dove pretty deep on that subject, though.
I think we should ask the fans. Write us in.
Podcast at 60cycleslum.com.
Yep.
That's the email address, right?
60cycleslum@gmail.com.
At 60cycleslum.com.
Slixty cycle slum.
All those good things.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
And let us know. You vote. Do you think sports... are more interesting?
Or sleeve length, which is
or
better?
Or T-shirt sleeve length.
So stupid.
I'm interested to see what we hear.
Yeah, let's have our listeners.
What else did we see? What else did we see at NAMM? When we were there.
Well, the Wazacraft CE2, the course pedal, which I'm not super excited about. But if you're into course and you're into Boss, I suppose that's a good one. Although apparently it does. Like, I watched the video, and they said that it does contain, like, the original circuit that's taken out of the Jazz course.
Yeah, which is, like, the CE1,
I think. The CE1, yeah. And then the old CE2, and then, like, a new modern version as well. Or a vibe setting or something.
What's it going to cost?
I'm going to say probably $149.
Yeah, or 200 or whatever.
I think that's around what the other Wazoo Craft stuff has been.
Yeah.
149 is not that bad. And that's new. So that's not bad because, like, the my C machine that I freaking love, I think retails for 199.
Yeah. So for this pedal, it makes sense. When they released, like, the SD1, the Super Overdrive,
yeah,
and they released that Wazoo one for, like, 150, like, that's kind of crazy. When the other one is still in production, for and you can get it for, like, $20 used easily.
What's that Wazoo delay one?
That's DM2.
How much is that one?
I think it's, like, 149 also. I think they're all, like, 149. So now they have the DM2. Is that what it is? Which is like it's like an analog delay.
Yeah.
And then And then there's I think there's a blues driver one, and then there was the super overdrive, and then now the chorus one, and maybe a vibe too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get the Wazoo Craft stuff. I mean, I think Boss I know they're like trying to rebrand themselves or whatever, but like I don't know. I don't understand why people don't like Boss pedals. I think they make a lot of good pedals, but the Wazoo Craft stuff just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to reach like a different, more boutique market, but like without changing anything.
But as long as it says Boss pedal, they're never going
to
reach that.
Exactly. Market. Yeah, no one wants to pay $150 for like a single effect Boss pedal.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I don't know. I wonder if they could like if it. The thing that is so recognizable about Boss is the freaking enclosure. And people that are like, that love Boss, well, that's one of the first things that they mention is like, the enclosure is so great. The foot switch is so awesome, right? But everything boutique does not look like a Boss pedal.
Right.
So I feel like if you're going to be like, if you're going to say we want to like knock up the brand, that to me seems like the thing that they should change is the housing, the enclosure.
Yeah. Well, and part of it is like, I don't know, like Boss pedals seem big and bulky now. Like most pedals that are that big have like top jacks and they fit a little bit easier, but
or six knobs.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like knobs, I think like what they need to do
is foot switches.
So one of the other pedals, which was on a lot of the NAMM news that I was seeing, it wasn't announced at NAMM, but it was the Tonal Recall, which I think is an interesting pedal, partially because it seems like everyone, as soon as it was announced, was like crapping their pants about it.
Losing their minds,
Which is so, like, I don't know, it's just, people are just like that. But, like, it does something weird, and, like, Boss needs to, like, all these Wazoo Craft pedals, it's just like, it's a slightly better version of this pedal that you can get for $20. Like, they need to put, I don't know, a delay and a reverb in the, like, put a DD7 and an RV6 in the same box, you know, or do something.
Yeah, like, the only thing different about them is that you can switch between, like, the classic and the new version of it.
Which is like, that's a subtle different, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's still just a chorus pedal. Like, do something crazy, you know?
Right.
And listen, Mr. Boss, Mr. Roland, if you're listening, go ahead and send us a couple. Send us the whole line.
And that's all of the entire Wazoo line.
A set of three of each.
Three sets, yeah.
And we will give our honest, lying review about how we wholeheartedly support it and love everything about him.
I think you're supposed to refer to him as Mr. Boss-san, though.
Mr. Yes. Boss-san?
You're supposed to say,
it's a Japanese
Wazoo, Mr. Boss.
Oh, so you know what, guys? What am I thinking? We're pronouncing it wrong. It's Bose.
It's Bose. Yeah, it's not Bose.
It's a Japanese. It's a Japanese company. It's an Bose acronym, song. Just like Tiesco.
Tiesco. Tiesco.
So that was okay. So,
but the coolest thing at NAMM that I've seen is all these freaking offsets from Fender.
They look amazing.
They look fun, right? All the Duosonics, the orange one especially, caught my eye.
Yeah.
But I mean, then there's the whatever. I like the Sea Surf Green Pearl, but I don't want a humbucker probably, but who knows.
Okay.
I think that orange color is awesome, and part of it is like, yeah, this is what people want. And if they really are going to, people are saying they're 450, but I don't know if they officially announced that. But like, that's how much the high-end Squire stuff is now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is what they should be using their Mexican factory for, is doing this crazy, weird offset stuff and see what hits, you know? I know they'll still make the standard stuff, but, like, let them make some weird-colored, weird-shaped guitars, and if one of them really takes off, then make it more standard, you know?
Yeah, and I was almost wondering, like, if it was intended to be a Squire originally, but, I mean, the fact that it's Mexican-made doesn't play into that, so probably not.
Yeah.
Tell me this, the one that you guys are referring to, that's the one with the it's got like the all white single coils, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're basically like Strat pickups, but like with a solid cover.
With a
Isn't
solid
that what
cover.
Duosonics and Mustangs have? Isn't that like the standard?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me why, like my brain looks at it and goes, that looks cheaper than with the exposed magnets. And I know that's stupid. That's stupid for me to think that because
EMGs are the greatest pickups, and that's what EMGs look like.
It's a mental thing. Like, because you're used to like looking at pickups and you can kind of tell, like you look at Strat pickups and you can tell the cheap ones from like the quality ones by like whether the pull pieces are staggered and like,
and if they're like beveled around the edge or whatever.
Yeah. Like you can see that.
Maybe that's it.
It almost looks like they're, like, covering something.
Yeah, it looks more I mean, I know plastic is plastic, right? But
yeah.
The tons of Strat pickups are – it's plastic. But it just feels more plastic, and then I associate it with, like, toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I know
– it's in line, I think, with, like –
That's what those guitars were originally, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all those smaller Fenders were basically like student model guitars, especially a Duosonic. So, I mean, it makes sense that it would look cheaper, but that's, you know, that's what all you freaking hipsters want.
So now they're like doubling down on the look.
Yes.
Or, I mean, they're just staying true to it. I don't think there's ever, like, that's what every Mustang, like, you know, the Squire Vintage Modified Mustang looks, the pickups look just like that, too.
Right.
Years, they're black, but they're just that plain plastic cover on it.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about these ones is that they have like, rather than, it's almost like the opposite approach of the Vintage Modified series where everything was like vintage correct. They've made a lot of like seems like modern updates to it with like a flatter neck, like a wider radius, you know, medium jumbo frets and like the 24-inch scale length and.
The bridge, hardtail, too, on that one Duosonic, the hardtail Strat bridge is awesome. I don't love, like, the six. I'd rather have, like, a three-saddle bridge, but I think it's – I mean, that's what they should be doing.
I'm
they
really into, like, the string-through idea for that. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Super simple, like, no-nonsense rock guitar.
Yeah,
like.
Totally. So, yeah, I think it's smart all around, and I will probably be buying one of those orange ones.
I'm into it. I'm just hoping that they're out, like, before the end of the year, like, around Christmas time, so that I can buy one and not spend all my money on other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I had bought one.
So, Leo Fender, if you're listening.
Leo Fender is not a Fender anymore.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So he can't send us things that he doesn't
have. Mr. CBS son in Japan.
Who owns Fender now? Like, they just own themselves.
Some dudes.
Because CBS doesn't own him anymore.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's why there's a CBS era. Otherwise, it would just be like CBS is the
Cole, does Mitt Romney own Fender?
Probably. That's why they're freaking knocking it out of the park right now.
Well, so what should we do? Drink some coffee or design a guitar?
Exactly.
Well, we're not drinking coffee.
Like, well, I'm just drinking on the job, so. I love that. I still think there's only three or four people that get, I keep posting that Check Your Heart, Bro. meme goes with science fiction on it. And I think there's only three or four people that know who it is, but eventually someone will ask and it'll be funny. It's not funny yet, though. Okay. Except to me.
Nicholas Smith.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I think you should post it next time. You should post it with like an arrow, like a red arrow, and then in the red arrow, it should say, "This is Joseph Smith."
Yeah, he's judging you for drinking coffee. No, I think those offsets are awesome, and I think Fender's been good for a while now, I think, about trying and experimenting stuff with Squire, but to have like a Mexican-made Fender with basically a Mexican standard neck on it.
Yeah, with I think it's cool.
You know, unique crap on it, I think it's cool.
Kyle Smith hates it, but I don't care.
It's not, what is it, not authentic enough? I didn't see his comments.
Yeah, it's not Mustang enough, I guess.
Hi, Kyle.
It's not difficult enough to play.
Exactly, or set up or what. Like, there's so many like design flaws in those early offsets that it's like, why would we not want to fix them? Like, it's not that people think like, oh, the Telecaster is a perfect guitar and he got it right the first time. It's like, well, he didn't get the Jazzmaster bridge right the first time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Like, why do they keep putting out American Vintage Jazzmasters with freaking saddles that don't work? It's crazy.
Period correct, bro. Period correct.
Period correct, dude.
Yeah.
I think we're finally moving out of that, maybe. Like,
check your period, bro.
Gross.
That impulse to have everything period correct. And, like, as if there's some kind of, like, you know, it's like a badge of honor to, like, struggle through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this guitar sucks, dude. It's so hard to play. I love it.
Yeah, I saw someone saying that, like, oh, I like to feel like the guitar is fighting against me. It's like, where else in our lives do we, you know? Like, I love my phone because it lags all the time, and I just love to feel like I'm fighting against it. It's always dropping.
I really like when the accelerator doesn't work on my car, and I have to, like, I feel like I'm willing it to speed up. Yeah. That's my favorite.
I disconnected the power steering because I like to have to fight against it. It doesn't make any sense. But I think this is like the next step. This is the next step towards, in a few years, having like an American standard Jazzmaster, an American standard with like jumbo frets, everything that you want from a modern guitar, but it's a Jazzmaster or a Mustang or whatever.
I think they were close to that last year, and they had like they released that
special
new saddle. But then... Or they had the new bridge with, like, the two saddles, but then I think they got shut down by Mastery Bridge.
Oh, did they really?
Too similar. Like, that's what I heard, because it was everywhere, like, last year at NAMM, and then it was just disappeared, and, like, you couldn't find pictures of it online or anything. That bridge just, like, disappeared.
They must have.
Yeah. I heard that, and it makes sense. Like, it's just too close.
But, like... And I remember those threads on Facebook, and somebody asked, and this is just seems like the normal question to ask, is like, how expensive would it be for Fender to buy Mastery?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I get it. Everybody wants one, and they totally hold their value, and they're only on high-end guitars. But the company can't be worth that much, like when you think about like Fender money.
Well, and that's probably what Bigsby used to be, and now you can just license a Bigsby and put it on your guitar. Like, that's what if they can't buy Mastery, like, why can't they just license a Mastery and have the logo on there with next to the Fender logo or whatever?
Yeah.
You'd think they'd, maybe it's like this, they don't want to admit that someone came out with a better design, but, like, everybody does it. Like, people buy these $2,000 Jazzmasters, and they're like, oh, yeah, of course I got to get a Mastery for it, you know, because that's what
you have to
do to make it functional.
Or you could just go Jay Maskus on and make it completely unplayable.
Exactly, with like half-inch action and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And like and like a Converse wah like attached to it.
Dude, that was the dumbest. Oh my gosh, the Converse wah. They should have like, if they really wanted to hit their target market, they should have built it into like a pointy boot or something.
No, they should have. It should have been New Balance, so they could be walking shoes.
Oh yeah, that's just walking.
And get Christopher Walken to do a demo.
Oh my god, that would be great.
I hate you for making me laugh at that joke.
It's good.
It was good. Yeah, I like it.
No, it's not good. How long have we been going? This episode is really long.
I don't know. I just realized there's not like a timer anywhere that I can see. It's been a long time.
It's been like an hour and a half, maybe. Yeah. Close to it.
So what else do we want to talk about? I bought a purple amp this week.
Oh, dude. And you're selling it now?
I already listed it, yeah.
Nice. Did you ever plug it in?
Yeah, I plugged it in and played it. It's a DeVille 212. They put purple Tolex on it. And they didn't do an amazing job, but it's pretty good. And then they replaced.
But you got it for a crazy low price.
Yeah, I got it for $260, which usually they'll sell for $400 or $500 around here.
Dude.
And they replaced the lamp, like the bulb that, you know, the little red bulb. The they replaced jewel, it with the purple light. One. Yeah, nice. The jewel. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I want to swap it out with the one in my deluxe reverb, honestly, just because it's so cool.
Oh, yeah, but, just have a purple.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's all.
Like Mace Windu.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Because I'm progressive. I'm on the right side of history.
Yeah.
When it comes to Jedis.
Well, wait, are you saying Mace Windu is gay?
Yeah.
He is now, dude.
Yeah.
That's kind of blowing my mind.
I don't even know who Mace Windu is.
He's the black guy from Star Wars. He's the black
Jedi. I know
Jedi.
It's Star Wars, but... Oh, okay, so he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
And he had a purple. And he had a purple. He had a purple lightsaber.
Yeah, freaking purple lightsaber, Aaron. Come okay. on.
So it makes perfect sense now.
Yeah.
Why it fits into this conversation.
Yeah.
I don't care.
What?
I still don't care.
Aaron, so are you saying that we're not gonna do a spin-off podcast?
I have seen all the
Star Wars movies,
but probably once or twice each.
Now, what we're going to do is watch the Star Wars movies and comment on the sleeve length of their cloaks and stuff.
Yeah. Look at this guy.
So we can really hit our target audience.
Damn it, Aaron.
I know, dude. Oh,
no. What else do we have? You guys been flipping anything this week?
Nothing.
That's lame.
Nothing. I'm just, like, super into the stupid DS1 right now. I can't shut up about it. I tell everyone about it, and I'm, like, so excited about it. It's $10, and it sounds so good.
Are you going to paint it gold?
I'm not. I love the orange. It's beautiful. I'm never selling it, I swear, because I can't make money on it. Like, yeah. I'm not going to make anything on it.
If you paint it gold, you will make money on it.
But I turn the gain down, and, like, run a clean overdrive into it, and it sounds like a Marshall or something. It's, like, freaking cool. So now I'm, like, contemplating, like, selling my more expensive drives and buying some other stuff, but I'll probably regret that.
And buying all Waza.
Yeah, I'm just going to buy all the Waza stuff.
Waza Bose.
And Bose. They'll be like, dude, what brand is that? And I will say, Waza! I don't know why.
That should not make me laugh as hard as I can.
I know.
Like, it's really stupid.
Like it doesn't deserve my laughs, but I'll give it anyways.
It's a Michael Scott joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I have a confession. Wait, what was my first confession?
No, did you tell the inner circle about
us? Foo Fighters joke.
No. Oh, I got another confession.
Yeah.
So
I want to see some naked dudes.
How long ago did I buy that Morning Glory? It was at least a couple weeks ago.
It's been close to a month, probably
2 or 3 weeks.
Dude, I have not even played it.
Really?
That's how dumb busy I've been. And I haven't had any time to plug in my rig at all. And I played my acoustic a bunch, but I've had no time. And I'm like, holy crap. It's like the pedal that everyone loves. And this is my first Morning Glory, and I haven't even plugged it in yet. I don't even know if it works. I got it used. And Reverb was like, hey, you better give a review. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not going to review it until I play it.
Well, you can't return it now.
I could return it if I wanted.
No. How long do you have? Most, like, the standard is like 14 days. It's probably passed. You better pray that it works, dude. Or your morning glory will be your evening shame. You're going to be stuck with this piece of crap pedal that doesn't work.
That's the name of this podcast, is your evening shame.
No. You know what? Worst case scenario, I send it to Mr. Josh Scott.
Oh, true.
And he's like, oh, that's a bummer. It doesn't work. Here, let me fix it. And let me touch up the artwork.
No, it turns out this pedal has been modified. Sorry.
Oh, damn it. Come on, Josh. Please?
Do me a solid. Just one time. Josh,
please.
Mr. Scott,
it's me.
If you're listening.
Brother Scott.
Feel free to send us three of every pedal in your line, and we will review them so honestly. So honestly.
I actually have a JHS pedal because I'm so PW like that.
Dude, you're the PW-est.
I am the tubbiest, but that's a different issue.
P-tub.
That's what it's, yeah. P-tub. Diaz has been posting all these pictures. He posted a picture with Stu G. I still don't know who that is, but that's this. I have a Kilt, which is like his signature pedal.
Do you know the band Delirious?
No.
Okay. I believe it's pronounced Deliri 5.
Delirial 5, yes. Delirial 5? Nice. Question mark?
Right.
No, they're like, they were really popular in like the 90s worship scene.
Okay.
And I guess he's a really good guitar player, but that's why.
They made a good pedal for him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They were a P-dub.
They're people. They were cool, though.
They were the original P-dub.
Yeah.
I don't know, does it get earlier P-dub than they do? I don't think it does.
Everything before that was like Vineyard.
Right.
Yeah, they were like the first like band kind of thing.
Right.
It wasn't like a movement.
Pretty sure there were like monks 2,000 years ago making P-dub music.
Yeah. That's not the same.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Not the same.
Yeah. They,
funny clothes, funny haircuts.
Yeah, they were British.
It is the same then. They were wearing weird clothes and had weird haircuts.
Yeah.
Weird shoes. So it's basically the same as modern PW music.
Way less chicks though.
Speaking of which, Steve Rao is over here dropping bombs on that F-word post right now as we speak.
I dropped my standard bomb.
Yeah.
I refuse to call him Steve Rao.
It's Roe, right? He's related to Mike Roe.
No, yeah. He's not. He says it's pronounced Rao. But then my favorite phrase, Steve Roe, the science bro.
Yeah, it's true.
Doesn't work.
The science Frau. If only he was a German woman. a German name. You should, okay, you have to like, you have to Photoshop some cinnamon buns on his head.
And yeah, like some
like German. Lederhosen?
Yeah. Well, like the female, whatever the female Lederhosen is.
No, a lab coat and like, yeah, Steve Rao, the science Rao.
I like it.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think this is really, of course, it's been real. It's been real fun.
It's a good one. Now we'll test out. We'll test out to see if it actually goes live and everything.
All right. So if you see this, people, let
us see it. It means it went live. And make sure, remember, if you want to listen to this, if you made it this far and don't know how that happened, check out Podbean/60-something-something.
Will this go on Podbean? Are we able to, like, save audio, too?
Yeah, we can download the audio. Yeah, it'll let us download the audio and everything.
Cool. All right.
60 Cycle.
So now you know. 60 Cycle Slum.
60 Cycle Slum.
This thing you've been listening to for an hour and a half, what it was 60 Cycle Slum.
For Cole Duke, I'm Aaron Abubo.